Hi, this is Lauren Lovano, Associate Editor of Neurology Reviews. With me is Dr. John DeLuca, Vice President for Research at Kessler Foundation Research Center in West Orange, New Jersey, and Professor of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation and Neurology and Neuroscience at the University of Medicine and Dentistry in New Jersey. At the fourth cooperative meeting of the Consortium of Multiple Sclerosis Centers and America's Committees for Treatment and Research in MS, Dr. DeLuca discussed the assessment and rehabilitation of cognitive impairment in MS. We're going to talk with Dr. DeLuca now. Can you discuss your findings regarding the accuracy of self-report for assessing cognitive impairment in MS?
Yes. It's very important to know what our patients are telling us, but it's our job to know exactly what it means. So a lot of times what happens in a clinical setting is the clinician asks the patients if they have cognitive problems. The problem, however, is that the actual complaint of cognitive problems in persons with MS does not correlate with actual cognitive problems. So the self-report doesn't correlate with cognitive problems. It correlates with emotional distress. So therefore, the accuracy of self-reported cognitive problems can be a significant issue. Therefore, one really needs to actually assess these cognitive problems formally as opposed to just self-report.
What's the difference between a memory problem and a learning problem in patients with multiple sclerosis?
It's a very important question. One should remember that there is no memory without learning. You can only recall what you've initially learned. And if you haven't learned the information efficiently to begin with, what you would call or your memory will be inefficient. And so what we've done is a series of studies looking at if we made sure persons with MS efficiently learned information, would they be able to remember it? Because previously people thought the problems were in the memory, not in the learning. And we found if you made sure that people learned, their recall and recognition, their memory, was as good as healthy individuals. So the problem, therefore, is not so much in the memory or recall and recognition, but the learning or the acquisition of that information. Very important is that, because that's what drives rehabilitation.
What are some cognitive rehabilitation techniques that can improve learning and memory?
Well, there are a lot of techniques that can be used. So, for example, something called self-generation. We've known from decades of research that if individuals generate the right answer themselves, the strength of that learning in the brain is stronger than if someone just tells somebody what the answer is. So self-generation can significantly improve the strength of encoding in the brain. Another thing that can be used is something called spaced learning, something we've known for 150 years, that to learn something new, particularly something that's complicated, which would require multiple learning trials, if you space those learning trials apart, let's just say by days or every half an hour, as opposed to consecutively having those learning trials right in a row. Spaced learning significantly improves the strength of that learning in the brain, such that when you want or go to remember the information, chances are it increases significantly. So spacing learning trials is very important and can significantly improve the acquisition of information. Another thing that's very interesting and very powerful is something called the testing effect or spaced retrieval. And that is, instead of, let's say you want to learn something new, like you were in a class, and say instead of studying the information twice, let's say on day one and day two, you study the information once on day one and be tested on day two. The act of testing significantly improves the strength of the encoding of that information such that you'll remember it better. So putting these things like this together, spaced testing, spaced learning, self-generation, all together can significantly improve the learning of information. Therefore, the information will be remembered and can be used in everyday life.
Can you tell me about the cognitive reserve hypothesis and whether it has implications for rehabilitation in multiple sclerosis?
The cognitive reserve hypothesis is very important. That is lifetime intellectual attainment. That is attaining intellectual skills throughout one's life can result in a brain that is resistant to the expression of the disease. That is resistant to the disease, that in this case MS, showing problems in cognition. That's because the brain is developed in such a way that there's more redundancy in it. And so the disease might develop, but there's more pathways in the brain so that it's resistant to showing these cognitive problems. Very important. So that might suggest, number one, can we identify people who might be more at risk for the expression of cognitive problems? That is, people with low cognitive reserve. And number two, can we build a cognitive reserve in individuals with MS? Say you're 20 years old and you've been diagnosed. Can you build a cognitive reserve as a therapeutic intervention so that when you're 40 or 50, you're much less likely to show these cognitive problems? So the cognitive reserve hypothesis really can form a lot of the basis of a rehabilitation for cognition in MS.
That's very interesting. How significant in the overall picture of treatment with patients with multiple sclerosis is cognitive rehabilitation?
You know, cognition has a profound effect on persons with MS. It significantly affects employment, family life, social relationships, everyday life activities such as driving, economic security, emotional functioning, and just overall quality of life. If we can improve cognitive functioning, that can lead to an individual that not only can function better at their job, but can be more engaging at home with their family, maybe can now maintain doing homework with their children, being more secure in feeling that they can work, maybe even preventing them from losing their job or staying at their job longer. Cognitive interventions can have a profound effect on the everyday life of persons with MS. That's something we really need to focus on.
Thank you very much for your time, Dr. DeLuca.
Thank you.